Father's presence. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. If you're online, happy Father's Day. And thank you. I am a father. 20 years now I've been a dad. And been interesting times. For the most part, good. Yeah. If I wasn't a father, I would still have dark hair. Less wrinkles. Now they say, if you wake up and you drink a cup of green tea when you first wake up, you can get rid of about 80% of the joy that you probably don't have. I'm just kidding. No, I love my kids. All right, toxic father. So just quickly, in the world that we live in, and I know there are many, many, many hot potatoes. Amen. You can talk South Africa, you can talk government, you can talk Trump, you can talk Ukraine, you can talk stuff, and it's like you can talk the Democrats and the Republicans, you can talk the Afrikaners and the other stuff, and it's just all hot potatoes everywhere. And a few weeks ago, I spoke about guys leaving the country. Remember that? Mention that. Don't think I'm talking about the hot potato of what's happening right now. I've been talking about this for many, many years. If you're part of Grace Life, you'll know that. Even when our beloved President Zuma was in power, we spoke. Remember what's his name? That colored guy who speaks on the that comedian. Trevor Noah. And he said, "Mary, I'm going to Australia." Remember that? Yeah. It was always funny. So anyway, I've always said, we got to follow Jesus. We've got to follow the Holy Spirit. Not our fear or our good ideas. Amen? And whatever that means, that's where we need to land. And so, anyway, hot potatoes everywhere. And one of them is a masculinity or toxic masculinity. You've seen the Karens and the Corins on Facebook and all the videos. And then this and then that. So you can have all kinds of ideas and all kinds of things about what that is. But at the end of the day, I know that Satan, the Bible says in John 10:10, that the devil comes to rob, kill, and destroy. Who's heard that before? And seven or eight of you. Okay, Pat, nine. Satan comes to rob, kill, and destroy. Satan is the father of toxicity. Yes. Satan is toxic in everything he does. And he wants to embed himself in everything humanity wants and does to bring as much toxicity as he can into everything we do. You can have a great curry chicken that Grant will make. Wink, wink, soon. To get an invite for lunch. Actually, not Grant, but Lee's mom. Come on. Let's give credit where credit's due. Actually, no, not Grant. Not Lee, Grant's mom. So I'm going to have. Nadine's like, hey, hold on a second. I made lots of lunches for you. Anyway, so you can have this beautiful chicken curry lunch, and it's like amazing, and talk about it the next two weeks. Or you can have a chicken curry, and there's something toxic about the chicken, and you're talking to the white bowl for the next 2 days. So toxicity is very, very unhelpful, very unhealthy, and very bad. Satan wants to get in every family he can, in every business he can, in every country he can, in every church he can, in every culture he can, and bring toxicity. Amen? On a side note, I want to say this. Every culture on the planet, and it's not black and white culture, because there's people that don't live in South Africa are not black and white. Amen? It's every culture, but it just happens to be our reality because we live here. But every culture, and it's not just black and white, of course, there's Indians and there's colors and there's all kinds. Every culture, not just South Africa, but overseas, America, Japan, South America, Australia, North America, Russia, every culture has to submit to the culture of the kingdom. You don't mix the two up. You don't mix the culture of the kingdom with our culture to have a nice hybrid. It's we have to submit our culture to the culture of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Lord loves our individuality, mind you. Because if you look in the book of Revelation, chapter 20 odd, it says, in heaven, John saw every tribe, nation, and language praising God, standing together. Now surely, if it's every language, there must be this other languages that John heard. He didn't just see all of us dressed, all of us as one homogenous group of people. We had our different colors. Interesting. He saw every nation, tribe, and language. Interesting. God doesn't remove our uniqueness in heaven. We all just become these robots with wings that play harps on clouds. Do you know we're not going to be living in heaven? Do you know that? Did you know that? We're not going to live in heaven forever. Oh, we're going to go to heaven. No, the Bible says those that don't believe in Jesus that die eventually end up in the lake of fire. Now, I don't know what that is. It was prepared for Satan and his angels. So I don't know what the lake of fire is. And we can argue, you can argue all you want about that. At the end of the day, it just doesn't sound good. I'll just leave it right there. Whatever that is. Yeah, but it's not burning, Craig. It's not like a fire. Okay, great. Because it's, you know, it's you think trying to think of natural fire. Okay, whatever. It just doesn't sound great. I'd rather not. But we don't live in heaven forever. Heaven, the Bible says that what's going to happen is the church, the city of God, is going to come down from heaven onto the new earth. And we will live on the new earth. And as I said a few weeks ago, the new earth is like the old earth, but new. So as you see around you, it's going to have something of a similar look. Who's with me? And we're not going to be sitting on the grass just playing harps all day. I can tell you that. Anyway, that was Satan is a father of lies, toxicity. John 10:10. And so we have to be on our guard against toxicity coming into places that we are in, and that's why you have toxic masculinity or toxic father-heartedness versus true masculinity or the father heart of God. He wants us to carry the father heart of God, whether you are 13, 15, 50, or 95. To carry the father heart of God, of course, you have woman. God wants to carry the mother heart of God. Jesus said, I wish I was like a mother. A mother gathers her hen, her chicks around. Amen. So there was something in that. I mean, God created woman. Amen. Not to say God's feminine. Actually, God's not even male. God is God. It does say he, but I think we get the concept because we go, oh, it's actually God is spirit. But Jesus came as a man. But at the end of the day, we go, we got to see toxic masculinity or toxic father-heartedness of what it is. Toxicity is unloving, it's ungrateful, it's ungracious, it's unkind, it's quick to judge. It's quick to bring punishment, overbearing, controlling. Amen? Interesting, in the world today, it's all about tolerance, is it not? Let's tolerate and love. One love. All religions lead to the same place. One love. Hey, one love. Let's love each other. But you'll find in those spaces where that gets preached, tolerate. The moment I do something you don't like, you won't tolerate me very quickly. The moment I do something you don't want me to do, you'll see the tolerating will go out the window. Because when you live lives like that, it's one love, we tolerate one love. But the moment I do something you don't like, there's no love. We've got to come to the Father heart of God. Amen? I need you to preach with me this morning. Even if you're online. You're online, you've got to, amen. Yes, Craig. Woo! All righty. Because remember, the more you preach with me, the more I feel like you're listening, the more I feel like we're getting somewhere, then the shorter I preach. Because this can go on for hours and hours. So, three big points and we're done. We can go have lunch with our fathers. Good chicken. Why are fathers important? I'm going to read a couple of things here. Seven odd things. And we're going to read through them together. You can go Google this. Excuse me. You can go Google this about the importance of fathering. And even in the secular world, the unsaved world, you can go look at the statistics about fathering and how important fathers are in family spaces. Who's with me? There's a difference between being a dad and being a father. Anybody can become a dad. You just have to put man and woman together. Interesting, man and man, it ain't going to work. A woman, that ain't going to work. You can't have too much of that on the planet, man and man with woman and woman, because in one or two generations, we all die off. Amen. Men and women together, amen. Amen. Anyway, I'll just tuck that in there. Remember, God did not create Adam and Steve. Jeez, I said that 1,000 times, and you've never... Well, I guess he did, but through Steve, Adam came. You know what I mean? Adam came through Steve came through Adam. All right. Number one, children with supportive and involved fathers tend to have better relationships with their peers and healthier emotional regulation. Who's with me? And again, so let me just go back to that quickly about that kind of stuff. It can be hot potatoes. You know, so you're going to bash on about it. At the end of the day, you can have whatever opinion you want about that lifestyle, whatever opinion you want. But you've got to come back to the Word of God. Statistics show us that fathers in a household are very, very important. Amen. Very important. Like incredibly important. And so if you're going to bash against that, well, ultimately it's not going to end well for society. That is the statistics. That's just numbers. That's what we get told. Amen. We didn't make that up. Yes? Zach Brutz, you need to read up there. Oh, you didn't say that? Okay. Have your chicken, bro. All right. They have better relationships with their peers and healthier emotional regulation. Interesting. Healthier emotional regulation. That's what we need in our children. To perform better academically, fewer behavioral problems. A supportive and involved father tends to emphasize discipline. It's not the batteries yet, Tariq. Did you put new ones? No, you didn't. Mine's not Christian. Rule, justice, discipline, which can help a child consequences. I don't know what's going on there. All right, let me put this in the front here. I'll just wear it here just now. And of course, a father's not disciplinarian. You know, I remember growing up, my cousin, my late cousin and his late father, he had a very bad upbringing. Very, very disciplinarian father. He did, his grandfather. And, I won't tell you his surname because he had a little phrase attached to his name about what he used to be like when he was younger. Very violent guy. The father, my uncle, about 5'9", was like stocky. And back in the day, he was very, very violent. And obviously became a father, got married, had kids, two sons. Violent with both the sons to the point where they go hide in the cupboard, because when they got home they'd be like, oh my God, we've done something wrong, my dad's going to beat us up, and he would literally throw them around the room. His son, my cousin, became the same. And I remember the one time we're in a night, we're at a park, and he got into a fight with like two guys and he clapped them both, and he was a little bit taller than me, also at 5'9", was quite stocky, but he used to say this to me, Craig, and then he gave us after the Lord, anyway, it's a long story, but he said, Craig, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. He told me that. Violent guy. So one day he was never shot or stabbed by someone. Even in business, he had some very, very dodgy guys around him. And I just go, that comes from having a father who's ultra-disciplinarian and ultra-violent in the way he processes stuff. It's like we need fathers who have discipline and they justice and they fair, but they also, it's like someone once said, like pasta. It's like firm yet soft. There's a softness, but there's a firmness at the same time. Who's with me? Amen. So let's just stick with the chicken analogy rather. Don't overcook it, but juicy. You got it. All right. Fathers tend to have different parenting and complementary styles as mothers. I'm not going to talk about that too much, but they bring a balance to the mom. Amen. My mom had to process much growing up. Her mother died when she was born. My uncle was 2 years old when my grandmother died, and my grandmother died giving birth to my mom. So my mom was brought up by my grandfather, just my mom and my uncle. And she had to walk through some stuff growing up, even to adulthood, because she never had a mother. Never really experienced the mother heart of God. Growing up. Amen. And there was trauma she had to outwork through that. There was stuff she had to outwork. Overall, supportive, involved fathers benefit their children in critical ways, physical, emotional. Conversely, children without supportive and involved fathers tend to have lower self-esteem and more fragile emotional security. They may feel abandoned and struggle more with their emotions. Childhood trauma. Fear of rejection, because they were rejected when they were younger. Kids often with kids that grow up in divorced families often grow up with a childhood trauma of being rejected because their dad rejected them by leaving or the mother rejected them by leaving. Yeah. They don't see you guys had an issue, so you didn't like us. And so you have to process that when you're going down those roads. And they live the rejection complex and victims. And they have to, and the Lord has to lead them out there when they come to Him. And if they never find Jesus, they're always, and even when they find Jesus, some believers, 15, 20 years, don't come out of those places properly. And they're always victims in the mindset with a you're going to reject me. So before you reject me, I'm going to reject you. Even taking that into their marriages. Amen? Children in fatherless homes tend to do poorer academically, are more likely to drop out of high school and have their scores or reading and math tests lower. The lower performance academically can also extend into adulthood, affecting their professional qualifications and job interests. Interesting, it's childhood trauma. A significant percentage of youth in prison, this is not just South Africa. South Africa, you got to know, it's very high. Very high. The youth, the boys and the men in prison, 80 to 90% of them, no father growing up. Fatherlessness. It's a fatherless generation. America, same story. Most of the prisoners in the States, same story. In South America, where the prisons are overrun with crowded. They're crowded. The officials are overrunning the prisons with crowded prisoners. Same story. Fatherless. Men who have no fathers. The higher rates of divorce. And have children outside of marriage. Men who grow up with no father. Or a father who never honored the mother. Amen? Never honored the mom. Never committed to the mother. Children who grow up without fathers are more likely to enter into partnerships early. Have boyfriends and girlfriends at 13, 14, doing things they shouldn't be doing very early. Now that's generalizing, of course. You understand? It's like someone dies, you know, wear a seatbelt when you go driving. Yeah, well, I had an uncle who drove on the road and he died and you're burnt to death because of the seatbelt off. Yeah, but the chances are very slim that happens. It's like flying. So my daughter says, I don't want to fly. Look at the car. They went down there 2 days, 3 days ago in India. There, look at that. So yeah, but Jazz, in the news, they don't put down there was 500,000 planes that flew last week that none of them crashed. Statistically, plane flying is safer than car driving. Amen. But no one's going to say, hey, look, that plane took off and it landed nicely. Because it's not news. As fathers, we have to understand that fatherlessness, in my opinion, I mean, you can box me all you want on this. But if you're a dad, no, don't get up now, bro. Fatherlessness is not just like you have a child with a woman. You become a dad, but you're not a father. Why? Because you can't father that child until you marry that mother. Because the father heart, the father would never do that. You can't become pregnant with the Holy Spirit's calling inside of you until you're born again. It's like God's got to put a ring on your finger before you can be intimate with Him. You've got to get born again. And no man can enter the kingdom. You can't be a father without putting a ring on the mother's finger. You're a dad, but you're not a father. Likewise, you can't be a mother without putting a ring on the father, on the husband, on the guy's finger. Oh, Greg, I don't believe that. Well, you can believe what you want. At the end of the day, you'll see I'm right when you die one day. Amen. Because a father would honor the mother and love the mother like the father does, and show the children, this is how you honor your mother. I saw someone a little while ago, as a young man with a woman, with a girl, they're out of wedlock and they've had a baby. And he says to me, I am not going to be like my dad. And my dad is, he's telling me that, and I'm going to say, I'm going to this, and I'm going to that, and I'm going to, I'm listening to this kid going, bro, you just had a child with a woman who's not your wife. You've gone down exactly the same road your dad is. You just swung the pendulum the other way around. The things you think you're going to not do, because your dad did, you're doing this. And the girl is sitting there with a father that had her without being married to the mother. They've both just gone and done the exact same thing, 20 odd years old. Amen? We need men in this world who are going to honor the woman around them. How do you teach your daughter about honor when you don't marry the mother? You're teaching her that actually fear and uncertainty are great drivers to live this life in. And your trauma that you experience, don't worry about it, girl. You just take it into your life as you get older. Don't worry, things will work out down the line. Oh, yeah, okay. Amen. We need this. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us. So I was saying, I posted something on Facebook a little while ago. I said, God has placed voices over you. Did you know that? If you're a believer, God has placed voices over you. Oh, who are those voices? Well, you're going to find them. But they tend to be in the local church you're in the house of worship. It's like if I'm a child and a son and a daughter, well, who's my voice? Well, it's your dad and mom's voice because they're in your home. Oh, I don't like them. No, sorry. That's their voice. Amen. So it's very important what we communicate to our children. As I said, you're not married to the mom. What are you communicating to them? That's not important. You don't have to be committed to do this stuff. And even Beyonce said, no, put a ring on it. Remember? My God, if it's good enough for Beyonce, it's good enough for you and I. Beyonce. God has placed voices over us. Running out of time. Stop laughing so much. God has placed voices over us. You always tell me to keep time, and now look what's happening. It's a private joke, don't worry. God has placed voices over us. But you, my friends, and me, we have to submit ourselves to those voices. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yes, Craig. God's my shepherd. Okay, but he's in heaven and he's working through people. Who's shepherding you on this planet? No one. Jesus. Oh, okay. Well, he's just a homogenous, ethereal being floating out there. No, he's put shepherds over you. But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But you know what happens in that wanting? Who likes that scripture? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Great. This goes with the two. He leads me beside still waters. Amen. What's the other one? He makes me lie down. And no one will make me do nothing. Just trying to control me, Craig. Oh, no. The shepherd makes you lie down. I ain't lying down nowhere. No, the shepherd knows what's good for you. Amen. He leads you. Hey, no one leads me. Huh? I'm a rebel. He leads me. So he's got to lead me. If you're leading you, if you're not marrying the woman you're with, then he ain't leading you. You leading you. You're going to be in lack, and you're not going to lay down near still waters and green grass. You're going to be on a dusty, grassy, dark, dirty knoll. Amen. He makes me lie down. God has placed voices over you and I. We submit to those voices. Four things that voice is going to help with. Number one, tone. How you communicate. Because the father communicates well. Number two, timing. Amen. Yeah, we love each other, Craig, and then that's not the right time. Get married first, then live together. Timing, bro. Don't put the cart before the horse. Yeah, we're waiting for, we need 200 grand to get married at the Hilton. Are you going backwards? You're living together. What's the point? Let's go down to the home affairs and get the ring put on. Then have the thing later, whatever celebration you want to have. Amen? Amen? We can marry you in our lounge, cost zero. We'll buy the biscuits and the coffee. Well, 10 grand for me to sign, yeah. But I mean, outside of that. I'm not kidding. It's not 10. What's it, 9? I'm like 50 bucks. Dawn's out the 8,850. It's expensive. All right. Fathers should be present. I was talking about generally. Remember, I spoke about the seatbelt. Of course. But statistically, this is what happens. So you can't hold on. It's like smoking. Hey, my grandfather smoked till 95. He never got cancer. Well, that's wonderful for your grandfather. He didn't model something very nicely, number one. Number two, go look at statistics, people that smoke cigarettes. They end up with mouth cancer, throat cancer, stomach cancer, lung cancer. Statistically, 80-98% more than other people that don't smoke. Yeah, but people can get smoked and haven't smoked, never smoked a cigarette. But statistically, sir, where do you want to live? You understand? Well, I walk by faith. Oh, okay, so you smoke by faith. All right, anyway. Father should be present. Okay, I don't want to go too much into this. I've literally run out of time. Father should be present as God is present. And there's a scripture that you can read. It says, I'm going to say this, God will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the bottom line. The Father will never leave you nor forsake you. So I say to Dawn, no matter how rough things get in our marriage, we're 24 years of marriage. The other day I saw it's a couple, it's quite funny. They've been married like 15 years. And the guy says to the camera, like, hey, 5 years, happily married. And the wife's like, hey, 15 years, baby. Like, yeah, but 5 of those happy. Anyway, you know, 24 years of marriage. And is it all better? Is it all a bed of roses? Yes. No, of course not. It's ups and downs. Mostly me. Dawn's pretty stable. But the thing is, it's like the Father will never leave or forsake me, so then I will never leave or forsake her. Because that's what the Holy Spirit says to me. So if I'm going to represent the Father, heart of God, I've got to then communicate that. And they're not just saying, got to do it. Say again? Yeah. Amen. So if that's the Father, heart, he's always present. And there's lots to say about that, but I'm going to have to end here. But fathers love as God loves. God wants every man to carry the Father heart of God. Yes. Not just the pastor's preaching. Look, and if you want to call me pastor, that's entirely up to you, but I don't call myself pastor. I'm Craig. Okay, so, but where I come from, we call the pastor pastor. Okay, well, maybe the pastor wanted to be called pastor for various reasons down there. But I don't mind. You can call me Craig. Doesn't you understand? Pastor is my function. It's like you're a plumber. I don't call you plumber John. I call you John. Plumbing is your job. Pastor is my function. My name's Craig. It's why Paul never says Paul, Pastor Paul. He says Paul, an apostle. Apostle Paul. I mean, but anyway, I don't want to dig on anyone out there that calls himself whatever. You do you. That's not our culture here, but that's, you can do whatever you want to say to me, you say to me. Some guys keep saying it. I'm like, okay, I've got to just stop saying it now. My name's Craig. Did I pass it? My name's Craig. Okay, go for it, bro. Okay, love is patient, love is kind. Of course, we know that. Love is a commitment to God and His people. I mean, I can unpack these for hours. Love is not jealous. Love is not jealous and afraid of losing something. You've got to be careful. If you're afraid of losing something, you become very controlling. Yes, yes. Amen? I know a young girl who's 19, her and her boyfriend, he's 20. That big bastard, bro. The phone broke through the phone on the floor because he wouldn't get in the phone. She said, no, you're not getting my. She wanted in his phone. He had some other floozy on the side. No, they're just hiding stuff for each other. They don't want to break each other's phones. So I hope the parents are not paying for those phones, by the way. But that's teenagers. Let me tell you, there are some people 30, 40 years old that do the same thing. I've been married 24 years. My phone, Dawn can look at my phone anytime she wants. Anytime she wants. So I go, what? My WhatsApp says, like, I got no messages to some woman there. I'm very careful. If you're a single woman or a married woman or whatever, don't get hold of me. Get hold of Dawn or someone else. Don't get, because I won't ignore you, but I'm going to just brush you off. I don't go down that road. I don't want to be fraternizing and communicating with single woman or married woman. Amen. There's other channels. Like I say to the leaders, don't do that. And a woman, don't do, if you're a guy, don't get, I'm pastoral. But okay. I'd rather you not. Just be safe. Be wise. Yeah. I remember when I was a single guy driving around on the bluff, when I was part of a, stop, I'm just going to go check, I'm rabbit trailing you. It's helpful, but it's not going to be. Love is self-sacrificing. Oh, I love that. Love does not, number five, does not seek its own self. I want to encourage you, guys and girls. I know I hop on about all of this, and you might be sitting here, oh, that's us. You could have been here last week and you weren't, Chad. I still said it, or the week before, if I said it. And I keep going on about this. Because we've had people in our midst and in our family here where I've spoken about this stuff, and they've still gone down and done it. And I'm going, you're just being stupid. You're being foolish. I'm going to say it one last time today. If you're living together and you're not married, separate and do the right thing by God. You reap what you sow. You are not going to reap well down the line. That's just the bottom line. Statistically and spiritually, it's just unhelpful. Love is not self-seeking. When you take someone and do that, you are going, I love you, but actually I love me more because you do something in me that fulfills me and makes me whole. So therefore, I'm going to do this because it's actually helpful for me. Actually, no, I can't. I'm not going to do that. Oh, you don't love me. Oh, I love you, but there's a timing in the Lord, and this is not the right time. Amen? Love does not seek its own self. Love lays us down. Husbands, love your wives. Let's cry and lays himself down for her. That's very important. Whatever you want in your marriage, sow in your singleness. Do you know that if you are living with a woman who's not your husband and you're a guy, you're still single, as far as the Bible's concerned? Amen. And if you're married, don't act like you're single. All right, so there, I'll leave that with you. And the last one, and we can basically, shall we stand here? Ephesians 4:15, love speaks truth. Instead of speaking the truth in love, I said, speaking the truth, that we'll grow and to become all the things that he has called us to be, or mature body of him who is the head, that is Jesus. And four small things here, quick things. We must speak the truth in love to our own hearts. Remember I spoke about that. Tone, timing. Tone, timing, attitude in relationships. I've got to, Lord, help me. Help grow in this stuff so I become the man you call me to become inside of myself so that I can then represent your heart well. Who's with me? I can represent you well with my tone, my timing, my attitude. Some people need an attitude adjustment. If you employ people, if you have an employee that's got a bad attitude, I've had back in the day, and how do you get that person to change their attitude? It's like, you just got to change your freaking attitude. Amen. It starts inside you. Number two, speak the truth in love in our homes. As a father, God's called you to speak the truth in love in your house. Not to be afraid to speak truth when you need to speak truth. I know it's difficult to phone when things you can have children against, it can make you frustrated. You know, you're like, oh, but it's the hardest part. It's like, Holy Spirit, you're going to help me here. Number three, speak the truth in love in our churches, our places of worship. Yeah. If your brother is caught in a sin, you are spiritual. Go and help restore him gently. I don't know, all the pastors and the leaders. No, if a brother's called, you are spiritual. Amen. And on a side note, 30 seconds here. I think it's in Mark, Jesus, the rich young ruler. When the rich young ruler approaches Jesus and asks him a question, the Bible says in that moment, it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him and said. So he looked at the rich young ruler and loved him and said. So this is God. This is the Holy Spirit communicating through one of the writers, the apostles of the comrades, Mark or Luke. And it says, Jesus looked at this guy and loved him. So we know that Jesus loved him in that moment. And then it spoke to him. He spoke to him some truth. And then it says, the rich young ruler's face was sad, downcast. And it says, he went away sad. That word sad in the Greek, I forget the word, it's like lepeo. And it means to be hurt or offended. So just because I'm speaking the truth to you doesn't mean now because you walk away, hold on, I need to feel loved here, Craig. You're not loving me here, Craig. No, I am loving you. You're just taking what I'm saying the incorrect way. That's right. Jesus couldn't love you more than he could, and he was the greatest leader who ever lived. And someone walked away from his counsel feeling hurt. So just because you feel hurt walking away from my counsel doesn't mean I'm incorrect. You might be incorrect by the way you feel. Amen? We speak the truth. And then, of course, the fourth one, speak the truth in love in our society and around what we do, around our world. Not like boneheads. We got to be, our timing has to be correct. But sometimes we've got to say something in that moment. Who's with me? I want to encourage you, keep praying for God to raise up men and women of stature in this country, around the world, stature, who carry the heart of the Father or something of the heart of the Father that can speak truth to power and stop the rot. Our prayers can go where we can't. Amen. Can I pray for you? Father, I thank you. Sorry, I've gone right over time here, but I just feel this is a very important message. And I just, Lord, I want to thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of people in this country, God. I wrote my book when I was a teenager, my old Bible. I got it in my office, and in the front of it, it says, South Africa will be saved. Lord, I know that you got a heart for this country. Lord, you have a heart for the fatherless. The Bible says you defend the fatherless. You are a father to the fatherless. There's some people in this country, Father, and around the world, but this country, because this is where we live, that are fatherless not for their own reasons, Father. They didn't kill their dads. They were abandoned. Abandoned. Lord, you are a father to the fatherless. Help us become what you've called us to become, God. Raise us a black, white, Indian colored, green, yellow, to carry the heart of the Father. If you're a dad, why don't you lift your hand nice and high? Lord, I pray for the fathers in this place right now that you would open their eyes to the wonder of your heart, that you would open their eyes to the wonder of the heart, Father, heart of God. They would become what you've called them to become. And then every young man, your Lord, that you've called and raised into adulthood, Lord, I pray that they would become the fathers, carrying the heart of the Father into this world. In Jesus' name, amen.